It is April 7th, 2025, and I am Frank Vaughan. Vaughan. Or, as I call myself, Frank Vaughan. My hair is particularly big today. I almost look like I've got a carrot top going on. The first thing I want to talk about today is inflation and how it's robbing you. You may have heard it said before, but it bears repeating that inflation is a tax in addition to the taxes that rob you every single day that you work. Now, the reason we have to talk about this today is Ford pledges $11 billion relief for Ontarians hit by Trump tariffs. Now, we click on that and we go to the Toronto Star and a pop-up window comes up. We can get a subscription to the Toronto Star, which is subsidized by you, the taxpayer, and subsidized by legislation that the government has already passed. Private organizations like Google have contributed $100 million so that they can still operate their businesses here in Canada, which works out to somewhere between $13,000 and $20,000 per journalist, but Toronto Star still paywalls all of their content. We can get a six-month subscription for a dollar, saving over $165. So they want $330 a year at normal prices for you to look at their Canadian content in addition to the money that they get from the government. Meanwhile, we can just go over to Yahoo and get the same thing for free. Gee, I wonder why Canadian media is having such a hard time. But anyway, Ontario offers $11 billion in relief to businesses stung by U.S. tariffs. Now, where does Ontario get that money? We'll get to that. But first, a little primer on inflation. Now, I have to ask you to suspend disbelief for a moment and pretend that you had $100,000 in 2020 that was after tax. I know, fantasy, right, that you had $100,000, but let's just pretend anyway. So you got your baseline $100,000. That $100,000 in 2020 value will buy you a certain amount of goods. The inflation rate for 2020 was 0.07%. So not too bad, right? So it takes $100,700 to buy the same amount that you could have bought in 2020 with $100,000. The 2021 inflation rate was 3.4%, 0.034, which gives you $3,400. So now we have to take that $3,400 and we add it to the previous year because it's compounding. So now you need $104,000 to buy the same amount that you could have bought in 2020 with $100,000. Now in 2022, the inflation rate was 6.8%. So now you got another $7,080 and you have to add that to the $104,123. We're rounding. So now you need $111,000 at the end of 2022 to buy the same amount you could have bought in 2020 for $100,000. I know this is boring, but it's important to understand this is a tax. This is every time the government prints money, they apply this tax to you. Let's do 2023. And it's compounding. It rolls forward through time. So 2023, another $4,300. So we add that to our $111,203. Now it's $115,000 to buy the same amount that you could have bought in 2020 for $100,000. And 2024's inflation rate was 0.024%. I know this stuff is so riveting. Maybe we didn't need such a lengthy illustration, but basically, you've lost 20% of the value of your savings. Now, assuming that you're working, you're also paying our wonderful progressive, isn't progress wonderful, progressive income tax rate, which means the more money you make producing real things, the more money the government takes. And they take it in multiple forms. It's important to understand that inflation is a compounding tax rate. It is not a measure of how much prices are rising, which is what the media and your government constantly says it is. It's a measure of the loss of the purchasing power of your dollars. And your purchasing power is lost because the government can borrow money in your name. And they can borrow money from a central bank, which has the power of money creation. They can create money from nothing. You can't. They can. And that's how they rob you before they even tax you. Now, let's look at somebody who's making $100,000 a year. This is like it's actually quite infuriating. If you are an employee and you're working for somebody and you look at your pay stub, you'll see that your CPP contributions on $100,000 are 5.95%. But that's for CPP-1. And then CPP-2, which is something they've introduced to get you when you're in this so-called high income threshold. I don't think 100 grand a year is high income anymore. They've made it impossible to make good money because they take so much of it out of you. But you would see 5.95%. But it's deceptive. It's actually 11.9%. We might as well just round up to 12% because the employer pays half of the contribution for you. That half contribution comes out of your wage. You would get that money from your employer, but you don't. But they've divided it up so you think you're getting wrecked less than you actually are. So it's 12% right off the top. And for those of you who are good at math, 12% takes you down to 88,000 is what you have left after you're done paying CPP. Now, I'm just going to cut to the chase here. You're losing a third of your income, $100,000 a year, and you're losing most of the kickbacks that you get. So you get your GST kickback. So they take a bunch of money out of your pocket, and then they give you a little back. Well, you're not getting it at that threshold. They have the child, the Canada Child Benefit, which subsidizes childbirth for low-income people. Most of that has been clawed back at this rate. So somebody who's making less than $37,000 a year in taxable income for one child will get somewhere in the ballpark of $6,500 or $7,000. And if you have two children, it multiplies. But all of that subsidy gets clawed back as your wage climbs and you supposedly get rich. But as the clawback happens, more and more of your income is getting taken. All the while, the government is printing money against your good name so that they can then turn around and make policy announcements like this. Ontario offers $11 million in relief to businesses stung by U.S. tariffs. Like they're doing you a favor. So they take it out of your pocket as you make it, and then they print money from nothing, which reduces the value. So you're getting taxed both ways. You're getting taxed when you make things, and you're getting taxed by them reducing the value of your dollars. And they have the nerve to stand in front of the public, and maybe they're right to, because I'm not sure the public actually understands, the masses of the public actually understands how great a theft of the national wealth is actually going on, so that they can give it away to refugees, so that they can send it overseas for their pet projects to fund gender diversity equity spaces in Bangladesh. That's just from the taxes. But then they borrow money and they spend that money. This $11 billion that's going to be used to subsidize industry, Ontario doesn't have. Now let us take a stroll down memory lane. It's 2018. Fat Trudeau has been elected to a majority government in Ontario. Look at how happy he is. His estranged daughter is still on stage. How Ford did it. Doug Ford and Kathleen Wynne face off amid crunch time for world's 17th largest economy. Concerns over Ontario's broader debt burden have reignited debate over whether the province should be adding to the deficit. And we'll get to this headline next. But a big part of Doug Ford's campaign was fixing the deficit and making Ontario fiscally responsible again. When I was alive in 2018, I was still living in Ontario, and I was following Doug around on the campaign trail, trying to report on it. I thought it was a very interesting political development. I had Doug's phone number. Everybody was communicative. But as soon as Doug won the leadership, that's when he started ghosting everybody he used to talk to. But I digress. He got elected. And here's a headline from 2024. Ontario Finance Minister expresses discomfort with size of deficit higher than I would like it to be, but he ain't going to do anything about it. because we just had an announcement for $11 billion in funding. Now, let's understand Ontario's precarious fiscal situation. In 2018, the year that Doug Ford came into office, Ontario's debt stood at $338 billion and had a deficit of $7.4 billion. 2019, his first year in public office, also the first year that a conversation around the deficit disappeared from public discourse, he ran an $8.7 billion deficit and ballooned the national debt or the provincial debt to $353 billion. Let's just fast forward to the end game. The projected debt of Ontario is $419 billion this year. That's almost $100 billion that he has added. Now, keep in mind that on a per-citizen basis, if you look at the share of each citizen of debt, the federal share that each Ontario citizen bears, the provincial and municipal debt, we're looking at $58,000 per person. That's little babies. Somebody's newborn, they come into the world with a $58,000 debt burden attached to their SIN number. And that little soul is indebted from the day they're born to the day they die. And the government has the power to print even more money to apply that inflation tax as well as increasing tax rates. But the actual, so this is the interesting number. The actual debt per working age person for everybody living in Ontario is somewhere around $87,000, give or take. We don't actually know because the numbers are too big. That's how heavily indebted you are. So, and that's on top of the fact that you've had an adjusted inflation rate of about 25% since 2018. So if you had 100 grand in 2018, you now need 125,000 or more to purchase the same amount. It's just incredible to me that this goes on, that governments can then stand in front of the people and pretend that they're funding announcements to combat the effects of a trade war. They're going to give you another $11 billion. They're redistributing it by robbing everybody. And the poorest people, which I would now include anybody up to $120,000 a year, you're basically working poor. Because the tax system and the benefit system is designed to penalize you once you break out of poverty, to keep you at relatively the exact same place in spite of the fact that you're making exponentially more dollars. And the higher you make as a maker, the more you're taxed. There's a reason the capital gains aren't taxed the same way. There's a reason there are corporate structures for people in high places who don't get affected by the taxation and inflation burden the same way the working people, the people who make things, get hit by it. It's just robbery. It's farcical. And nobody in the media, when they make these funding announcements, is telling you the truth of the multiple ways you're being robbed and indebted for generations. I know this one's a little bit dry, but it's important that we understand where we're at. Ontario defers tax collection for businesses amid Trump tariff fallout. And we'll discuss the whole Trump tariff fallout bit in a moment. We can't control President Trump because the politicians in this country, Doug Ford, Mark Carney, Pierre Poilievre, they all want you to see Trump as the great demon, the great challenge, the bad guy, because everybody needs a villain. And it keeps your eye off the ball of the people who are actually robbing you. It wasn't Trudeau that robbed you blind at the federal level. It was his Liberal NDP government, the very people who are still governing you and are running for re-election right now. People who listen to the advice of central banker and oligarch Mark Carney. We can't control President Trump, but we're in full control of the kind of future we build for ourselves. The best way to protect Ontario is to build the most competitive economy in the G7, breaking down internal trade barriers. In a news release, the province said it will pause collection of approximately $9 billion worth of taxes, including 10 business-focused tax programs. All right, fine. Woo! Pause. So they're going to pause it. They're still coming for it eventually. So you're going to have to pay for that. But where do you think they get the money in the meantime to cover the shortfall that this pause on tax collection is going to pose? They're going to borrow it at interest at a time when interest rates are much higher than they used to be, which means you end up paying more. Do you think anywhere in this article or anywhere in the announcement by Doug Ford, they disclose that detail to you? These people, these Doug Fords, these Mark Carneys, they are the modern day robber baron. They control issuance of the currency, they control taxation, and they control how they spend not just your money, but the future of your money, down to the seventh generation. The only thing they know is debt. When they promise you that they're going to give you something, they're giving you nothing. They're giving you less than nothing. Every time they make a funding announcement, they're actually taking it away from you. But I don't think people understand this. Actually, I know they don't. They wouldn't be making these public pronouncements if it didn't work. They want you to focus on the great demon, Donald Trump, and his henchman, Elon Musk. The U.S. federal government is really big. There's a lot of notable figures involved. Why aren't they talking about sanctioning Marco Rubio personally or any of the other people in the Trump administration? It's only Musk and Donald Trump because it's easy. The world's richest man and Trump, the most braggadocio U.S. president in the history of time. Canada has made immense mistakes when it comes to dealing with the United States. We have, at an official level, insulted this administration for years, denigrating Trump, even though we should have known he could have made a comeback in 2024, that there was always a chance that Democrats wouldn't win. We have denuded our military. We have allowed the United States, their greatest geopolitical adversary, China, to establish a massive foothold right here in Canada. An illegal foothold through drug manufacture and money laundering, and a legalistic foothold through training their military right here on our soil, allowing them to operate police stations, to buy up the land under our feet and the resources under that land. We have allowed that to happen. And instead of telling you about that, these guys are figuring out ways to undermine you to prosecute a trade war with the United States that was completely unnecessary, completely avoidable, and right now could still be avoidable. There is not a single political leader in this country. There are a couple who are flirting with it, but there is nobody telling you about the immense opportunity that Fortress North America represents. What a partnership between Canada and the United States to the exclusion of the rest of the world could actually mean. Yes, a period of adjustment in the beginning, as businesses repatriate, as capital comes home, as production ramps up, as those oil wells start unleashing what Trump calls that black gold, we could start printing money. We could start lowering taxes. It's a sin that 40, 50 years ago, even 40 years ago, one income could support an entire family and could afford to buy a house and drive a decent car. That was life. And the thing that has taken it away is progressive, so-called progressive taxation. The government in your pocket, the government printing money, the government running deficits. They have taken your future away. They've created a condition where both parents have to work, and they send their kids off to be raised by someone else, someone who's there, another tax slave who doesn't care about your kids. They care about their life more than they could ever care about your kids. We've designed a society that robs children of their loving parents, all to pay taxes, all to pursue wages that are being inflated out of your purchasing power is being robbed from you. Fortress North America starts walking that back. Fortress North America restores the power of the citizen and the family, or at least it could, if that was an option on a ballot. But currently it's not. So we wait for this election to work itself out to see who the next government's going to be and what line they will strike once they are ensconced in office. I am still hopeful for a Poilievre majority. I think that's the best path forward on every single front.